The World Cup Championship will be crowned this week, and you can trade the tourney through the finals on Kalshi, America's number one prediction market platform. Right now, Spain is trading at 58% to beat Argentina, meaning 100 trade pays out 166 if they win. On Kalshi, you're trading against other people in a live market. No house, no odds makers. For a limited time, download the Kalshi app and use code DEFEND to get $10 when you trade $10. K-A-L-S-H-I. Kalshi. Trade the beautiful game. 18 plus only. Restrictions and eligibility requirements apply. Event contract trading involves risk and may not be suitable for all investors. Kalshi products are not available in all jurisdictions. Prices, values, and available markets may differ from those mentioned. For more information, see kalshi.com/regulatory.
Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. You know what's slower than a pace car? Waiting at the car wash. That's when I fire up Chumba Casino. It turns those slow minutes into fast fun. With new games every week, you'll never get bored. Next time you're stuck in the slow lane, speed up with Chumba. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Back Aaron, Darren, Donick, and Chase. ESPN 102.5. The game here on this Tuesday afternoon. Good friend of the show, guy we've always enjoyed our conversations with over the years. Used to do a weekly with us here in Nashville, and now he is the head coach at Arizona State. And Herm Edwards is indeed on the line with us. Coach, how you doing?
I'm well. A lot of Zoom time now. We've all become television stars on the little monitors, haven't we?
Yes, we've grown very accustomed to Zoom during quarantine times.
Yeah, you know what's funny? When I say that, I can remember when I first got into the business of television, some producer came up to me and said, "Remember this, Coach, some faces are only for radio only. Some faces are for television." It's kind of interesting. So I'm just leaving it at that.
Speaking of that, Herm, I saw your face on television yesterday on Get Up on ESPN. You've got the quarantine, you know, hair going. What do you think? You're letting it grow out?
Yeah,
what do you think?
I'm back into my old look, back into the 70s. You know, these young people think that they're the ones that created all that. I said, you know, history kind of repeats itself. And back in those days, I was actually almost 6'3" and a half because I had all that hair on my head.
Does the family like the look?
Yeah. My daughters are saying, "Dad, you have a lot of hair." I said, "Yeah, Dad used to wear his hair like that." I had to go back and show him some of them old pictures, you know, and it brings back memories. It really does. You go, "Wow, I used to wear my hair like this." Really? Okay, interesting. I'm glad, at my age, I'm glad I can grow all this hair.
That's right. That's what I always tell the lady who cuts my hair. Hey, as long as I just keep coming to you, I'm not going to complain that my hair's gray. You know?
That's exactly right.
We've talked a lot about The Last Dance and just people like Michael Jordan, how they're wired. And your playing days, coaching days, who comes closest to an athlete you either coached or played with that was kind of wired like a Michael Jordan, just had that motor, just that drive? How would you answer that?
Well, I think Ray Lewis is a guy that comes to mind when you watch him compete and play. I think the guy that used to play for the Giants, Lawrence Taylor, number 56, I mean, he was a different cat now. I mean, he was different. When he walked on the football field, he had the ability to wreck the game. I mean, he was one of those guys, even when you're on defense, I can remember when he first came in the league, you just want to kind of watch him for a minute, to watch this guy. You know? I mean, he had that mentality on the field. Now, I think the closest guy to Michael, I've met Michael numerous times, been around him a little bit, was Kobe Bryant. Had that same mentality, you know, knowing Kobe and watching him, God bless him and his family. But he had that mentality now. I mean, yeah, no doubt. I mean, it's evident. It was very evident the way he played. So I think it's interesting when you go behind the curtain, and they've gone behind the curtain now to watch Michael Jordan, they see the greatness of it. And I think he makes the great point of there's a cost to winning there's a cost to it. And he was committed to that. You know, a lot of people are interested, but they're not committed in life to certain things because it's hard. It's very hard, and it's every day. It's a grind, you know. And I tell players that all the time. I said, you know, to be a leader, I said, this is difficult. Most people don't want to lead because they would prefer to be liked. You know, leaders aren't liked. They're respected. And you might not always, like, agree with what they – their way of motivating you to get some things done, but you respect them. And that's what Michael Jordan was all about. That was – Kobe Bryant was all about that too now. I mean, the way he practiced, the way he competed, what he expected out of himself, he set the standard for the team. And it's like, this is the standard, man. This is what we got to do. And you marvel at players like that that are great athletes. I mean, these guys are great, great talented players, but they go beyond that. I mean, how about this? How about a guy that, you know, if you're a baseball fan, how about the way Pete Rose played?
Yeah.
The way he played baseball. When you watched him, you went, man, that dude, like, he's all about it. And I met Pete, you know, I knew him from afar. But he was in Philly when I was there. He came to Philadelphia when I was playing for the Eagles. And just sitting in the locker room with that guy and then watching him play, man, this guy, come on. You know, you know who they are. They kind of stand out.
Sure.
They just kind of stand out.
How hard is it to find – everybody's looking for that mentality. So you've done it at two levels where you're out now – in recruiting and bringing kids into your program, you're trying to find that mentality in these kids of, you know, they will do whatever it takes to win, and they want to be leaders,
yeah.
And that what we're discussing. And also at the professional level, when you go into the draft, when you go to the combine, you're trying to find that. You can watch kids on film or players on film, but you need to get to dig deeper. How hard is it?
Yeah. Well, it's hard, but here's what's funny, too, and this is what was difficult, you know, that era and the era of some of these guys, there was no social media, right? Now everything you do is out there.
Yep.
Everything you do. On the field to play, off the field to play. You're on. You're always on. And that's part of the aura you got to live in. How do you do that? I mean, how do you manage that? There's more to manage now for a player in today's world than there was 20 years ago, just because of social media, and it has its own voice, it has its own followers, and people join in, and have their own comments. You know, how does that affect the guy, right? I mean, all these things become a factor.
You still have your 60-second speech to your kids?
Don't press in. Don't do it. Don't do it. Read it. Make sure you read it two or three times before you press it, because you don't get it back. It's gone. It's flat out there, man. And I tell players all the time, I said, you know, in today's world, I have two little girls, 14 and 13, you know, and they don't have phones yet, per se. But, you know, they get on their little computers and they, you know, whatever. And I tell them, I said, let me tell you something now. I said, you know, when you send something out there, That's your resume. People will find it. If they study you and they want to hire you when you time for you to go to work, they're going to look at everything you've done. That's your resume, whether you like it or not. It's not just your degree and what you achieved in school. It's like, okay, there's this other resume you have. When you press the button, that becomes a bigger resume than your college degree, by the way, a lot of times for a lot of these companies. They want to know, they'll find out about who you are, who you socially interact with. They find out a lot right there. And you write it. You get to write it every time you press it. What are you pressing?
It's well said. Have you enjoyed coming back, doing what you love? Have you enjoyed this?
Oh, it's been a blessing. And my whole deal is, you know, and I've said this many a time, you know, our culture here is the football program is to create an environment that will allow all our student athletes to be the best version of themselves. to be the best version of himself. As an athlete, as a student, the college atmosphere, growing up out of here and being better men, better citizens, better fathers, all that stuff's important to me. And it's wonderful to watch it develop. Because I got so many young guys. You just watch them every year mature a little bit more, and you're saying, I'm affecting their lives, hopefully in a positive way.
We're talking to Herm Edwards. It's great to catch up with him. And Herm, you know, a lot of people look to you for motivation, inspiration, things like that. During this time, you know, we're all struggling. We all have our days where, you know, we look on the horizon and we're like, man, this is going to be tough. You know, we're going through tough times here. How have you tried to keep your team positive and the people around you? What's your message been?
Well, I think a couple things come to mind for me, and you know, this is one. We got to continue to trust our hopes, not our fears. That's very, very important. And I also think that we always have to understand this, as we know, energy and emotion, it makes the world go round. It really does. But facts and common sense, a calmness about how we think, is very important. You know, these are moments now for a lot of people. And just think about our world. As we grow up, we start, let's just say, in school, in preschool. Your family members, as well as you, you're on this schedule. You go to work, there's a schedule. You have a schedule, and that schedule going Monday through Friday, and if you have the weekends off, then you have a schedule. You kind of set on the weekend. Well, now you get to set your own schedule. And we don't know how to handle that. You can actually set your own schedule now. Now, a lot of people are doing work from home. I understand that. But you actually, most people are not going in to their school as a student. They do it, you know, on Zoom. You don't go in. A lot of people don't go into work. They do it over Zoom, FaceTime, whatever it may be. And so we're changing, and it's hard because we live in this noisy world where we multitask. It's very noisy. All of a sudden, the world became quiet. How do we handle that? How do we reflect on that? I always look, you know, when this first happened, I said, you know, I'm going to reflect on me. How can I better myself? Have I done some things in my life that I feel like, you know, I got this much more to go in my life. What else do I want to do? You know, what do I want to do to help others? What's going to fulfill me? What are some wrong turns I made in my life? And I fell down, but I got back up. You know, all those things, you find a lot about yourself right now, to be quite honest, if you use the time wisely. Because I do know this, lost time is never found. We'll never get this time back. What did we do with the time we had? Because eventually when we get back in it, will it ever be normal again? I don't know that, probably not. There'll be some changes. We all have to change. It's like I always say, you know, like in life, you know, like in a football game or a sporting event, a plan that can't be adjusted or changed, it's a bad plan, by the way. So how do we adjust now? Whether we like it or not, we're forced to do that. And that, to a lot of people, we don't want to do that. If we're going to continue to survive this and come out of it on a good end of it, then we got to be able to do that.
You know, you hit on something that I would think every athlete is going through right now, where in the name of adjustment, right? You want to stay in shape. There are some athletes that we all know, they're going to get a lot more of a workout out of a workout if there's a guy, a weights coach, a strength coach that's driving them, that's telling them exactly what to do, trying to motivate them and get them to push themselves. It's a lot of times up to ourselves to do that. I know with our own fitness, that's kind of where we're at. So what's the program for your guys? Because I guess you're going to find out who can really self-motivate and get the most out of the time they have.
Well, you know, and that's the whole deal. As I continue to talk to players, you know, is that there will be no pass for guys that at this time that they had, with all this time they have on their hands, that come back that are not. Now, will they be in great shape? No. They should be in some type of shape. Because they are student athletes, as we know. But eventually, we're going to come back. Well, you're going to get exposed if you haven't done anything. That's for sure. I always tell players, you don't want to be that guy. Don't be that guy. Right? You don't want to be that guy. And so I think this takes a little bit of self-discipline. It takes a little bit of focus on your part. Prioritizing your day. That's what I keep telling players. What are you doing all day? Besides playing video, Madden and all that stuff you guys play. What are you doing? You know, you don't want to be the best Madden player. You want to be the best football player. You actually have to do work, you know, not press your fingers. So how are you using your time? And I always tell them, priorities, man. What are your priorities? What are you doing for you to get better? That's what you got to ask yourself.
Arizona State football coach Herm Edwards here with us on Darren Donick and Chase. And coach, you played the analyst role for a long time with ESPN. And so, you know, when you get to the draft, you have to identify needs for a team. And as we sat here with the Titans, I looked at receiver, and I felt, and a lot of us felt, they needed to get a receiver at some point. And I had a list of guys that I liked. And one of those you're very familiar with, Brandon Ayuk, who ends up going to San Francisco. I really liked him, thought he would have been a good fit here, but San Fran ends up taking him. What kind of a football player are the 49ers getting in that young man?
Well, I think they're getting a guy that hasn't reached the peak of his potential yet. Very explosive guy with the ball in his hand. And all arrows are pointing in the right direction. And the good thing about him, you can get him on the field early because he's a return guy. Played 2 years here with a JC guy. And really his breakout season was probably the Michigan State game on the road. And then from there, he really became an asset with our offense, with him and Ayuk. I mean, excuse me, and Benjamin the runner. He had only 65 catches, but had almost 1,200 yards and 16 yards per catch. So you're getting a guy that is a sponge. He is always searching for knowledge. And I think he's going to be a good fit in their offense because of the way they do things with their offense, you know, getting players in one-on-one matchups. He can play inside as well. So I think we've been very fortunate. Last year it was N'Keal Henry who got drafted in the first round. So all of a sudden the last 2 years we've had two receivers actually going in the first round.
Well, and you mentioned him, and then, of course, Eno Benjamin that goes in the seventh round. As somebody that coached in the NFL, I would feel like that you have to approach a first-round pick a little differently from a seventh-round pick. You're going to have the seventh-round pick that he's hungry, and, I mean, he's just wanting to make the team. So how do you go about that as a coach?
Well, I think there's more pressure on the first-round pick, and that's the key to me when you draft a guy in the first round anymore because of what's expected of the guy, right? You just expect this guy to say, well, he's going to play pro football now. There's no JV players in pro football. They're all professional football players. And, by the way, when you get there, you actually have to take someone's job. They don't retire. They don't graduate. You got to take someone's job. And so I think the mentality of a player, they need to understand that. That's kind of the culture here, very competitive. But being a first-round pick, because of all the notoriety and publicity, there's a lot of pressure on these guys, especially if you pick a quarterback, right? These other guys can kind of get lost in the shuffle. But the quarterback, you can't hide that guy, especially if you're going to play him early. And there lies the problem, right? Because if you don't build a system, most of them are system needy. If you don't build something around the guy, it's hard. I mean, that field becomes 150 yards long and only 30 yards wide for these young quarterbacks. But it's hard stuff now. When you're a later round pick, there's not that much invested in you, even though they like you. And I always said this, with later round picks, where you go has a lot to do with your success or not. And how many guys are there that you're competing against. Like, Eno lands in a good spot. The two backs are gone. He'll fit in their system. He almost went to the perfect spot, really, to be quite honest. So I just think they all have different ways when you enter the league. And I've always said, you know, when you enter the league, that's your start. That's how you start. And first-round picks are given more time than seventh-round picks. But here again, not that much is expected out of a seventh-round pick or a free agent. When you do something, all of a sudden, coach looks around and says, man, that guy's playing pretty good. So I think there's motivation on both sides of it, but it's definitely harder. when you're an early pick, because all the pressure, all the lights, every day in practice, they're always looking at the first round pick. What did he do today? They're asking the players, how did he do today? You know, but that's what happened.
What do you think was the, and you talked about your, you know, what the fun that you're having there at Arizona State, and obviously we know your history in the NFL and being an analyst, but what was the most difficult part of the transition for you? Was it recruiting or was it something else?
I think the transition wasn't as difficult as people might imagine because I stayed in the game. You know, even though I was on ESPN, I coached the Under Armour High School All-America game for about 8 years. So I had all these seniors that were five-star players that were going big time. I mean, I can't tell you how many guys that went on to be professional football players, and you knew it then before they even went to college. They were going to be pro guys. You just kind of knew it. Right? You say, okay, this guy's going to be an NFL guy. So staying involved in that part of it, being around those young guys, seniors in high school, then visiting campuses, going to places where they allowed me to coach 3 or 4 days. Coaches would invite me and say, Coach, I want you to be around the program. Just evaluate it for me. Do whatever you do. So I stayed involved, okay? I wasn't that far away. And I think you get a global view when you sit from afar and watch football, because now you watch the big picture. My second year working for the worldwide leader, I actually did SEC games. So, you know, I was there when Cam Newton was down there. Right? And so you watch the SEC, you watch these players, you go to practice. So I really wasn't that far removed from it. I think this caught me by surprise. And I knew the recruiting part, it's a big factor. But I didn't realize it's probably 85% of your life is recruiting. Because, look, in pro football, you draft them. In college football, they pick you. You got to recruit. Part of it. Relationship building.
No doubt about it. Last thing, Herm, there's a lot of things, and I wouldn't want to be in those rooms trying to make those decisions because it's tough, and there's a lot tied to these universities and these budgets to a college football season. But you've also got a lot of young men's lives in your hands and the safety of them. How do you try to balance all that and juggle that and try to figure out what's the right thing moving forward this year?
Well, I think you mentioned the safety, and I've always said this, and I said this when this first, you know, appeared, the virus, and people are trying to figure out what to do, and I said, it's real simple. It's not our call. Quarterback of the team right now for the United States and the world is the health professionals. They're the quarterback.
Yeah.
They get to call the play. Nobody else. We all want to call the play. You know, it's like when you go to a football game, right? There's two people, when you go watch a football game, there's two people that you, obviously, you become when you watch the game. You're the quarterback and you're the coach. You want to call the play and you want to play quarterback. So you do that during the course of the game, right? So now everybody wants to, like, call the play and be quarterback. No. There's only one quarterback, the health professional. Real simple. They'll call the play and we better listen. That's all I'm going to say.
That is a good way to end this. You and the family continue to be safe. I hope that we're watching your games this season, but we also want everybody to be safe and do this the right way. Thank you, Herm, for the visit. As always, we'll talk to you down the road.
Thank you, my friend. God bless you. You guys stay safe.
Same to you. That is Herm Edwards, Arizona State football coach, and it's always fun to catch up with him. We'll come back and close out hour number three next.
The World Cup Championship will be crowned this week, and you can trade the tourney through the finals on Kalshi, America's number one prediction market platform. Right now, Spain is trading at 58% to beat Argentina, meaning 100 trade pays out 166 if they win. On Kalshi, you're trading against other people in a live market. No house, no odds makers. For a limited time, download the Kalshi app and use code DEFEND to get $10 when you trade $10. Kalshi. Kalshi. Trade the beautiful game. 18 plus only. Restrictions and eligibility requirements apply. Event contract trading involves risk and may not be suitable for all investors. Kalshi products are not available in all jurisdictions. Prices, values, and available markets may differ from those mentioned. For more information, see kalshi.com/regulatory.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.